Some have asked us this question lately, and that is, you know, my life, my marriage is in a mess, and I don't know if we're going to make it. And we've been going to counseling. Should I change counselors, is what they've said.
Well, it's a tough question for us, right? Because we know that they've invested time, they've invested money, and at least the counselor knows their whole background and story, and we don't want to just throw that all away. So what do you do?
Well, today we're going to answer that. We're going to have questions for you to ask your counselor and one another. Hi, this is Phil and Priscilla Fretwell here with Savage Marriage.
We're going to talk about how God is healing and restoring marriages today from betrayal, addictions, and the wounds of their past.
And what He did in our marriage, He can do in yours too.
Priscilla, one question we get quite a lot from people is, should we change counselors? And as you know, we're not actually counselors. We are coaches. We have books. We have resources and our story and our ministry and things that we share with people. And we're not part of this, officially part of this $90 billion plus industry on counseling. So I think people trust us maybe with some of these questions.
That's right. And you know, some of them that we have met through our ministry, some have one, two counselors, a therapist, and they go to a...
like a recovery group.
A recovery group. And we're like, wow, your schedule is busy. How do you do that?
Yeah, well, today we're going to share with you questions that we ask them. So if somebody comes in and meets with us and they have this question, we want to share with you today the questions that we tell them to ask their counselor and to think about. But we're also going to share with you some questions that we believe couples need to ask about themselves, because in a counseling relationship, it's not just one person that makes this successful, right?
That's right. It takes two to tango, right? We didn't get into this mess with just one person.
Yeah. So it's got to be both people coming together in this. So let's just kind of jump right into this, and we'll just kind of pretend like here it is. It's in our kitchen at the table. You've come to us with this question here about your counselors. Okay. And this is how we would approach it. So Priscilla, what's the first question we typically ask?
Is the counselor pointing you to the Holy Spirit?
Now, we don't mean just is the counselor a Christian counselor.
Right. Does he go to church on Easter and Christmas? We really mean someone who has lived this life, seeks the Lord in how he works with the people in his office.
And so how would somebody determine that? Like you're saying, what does that mean? Point to the Holy Spirit, that Phil, that sounds so religious and
it
spiritual,
does, yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, what would you look for, Priscilla, to make that judgment? If you're meeting with somebody and you're trying to answer that question, what would you look for in that relationship?
I would look for someone who is saying, you know, I want to help you in this relationship problem that you're having, but we're going to have to look to God.
Yeah.
He has the ultimate answer. I could help you get to a place that this crisis is resolved, but it's really Him who is going to make you come to a place of healing and a marriage that is going to be fruitful.
Yeah.
It's going to flourish.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think I would also add to that and say, does the counselor believe you can hear from the Holy Spirit in your own life? Or are you only going to listen to the counselor? Because I will tell you, the things that I have heard directly from God, directly that whisper inside of me, has made a bigger difference in my life than anything a person has told me.
Well, it's life-changing, right? When you hear God speak to you personally, it changes you completely.
Yeah.
And not only that, you retain it.
Yes.
You go, no, I heard God.
That's right.
He spoke clearly to me. He spoke my name and He told me what to do.
Yeah. I mean, we've had people and they said, well, they are a Christian counselor, I think. And I said, well, do they pray with you? Do they give you a personal testimony? And they'll say, well, no. But on their website, it says that they are doing Christian counseling, right? So we have to go beyond that. We really have to press. We have to listen and try to figure out what is their orientation in this. Because I tell you, it's a real struggle. And it's a struggle for me many times, Priscilla, not to fall back on academics and textbook knowledge and things like that, instead of really listening to what God has to say about this. And so I think we're looking for a counselor that, yeah, they're going to use their skills, they're going to use their training, but at the end of the day, they're going to acquiesce to what the Holy Spirit is going to want to do in the life of the client. Second question we would typically ask is, does the counselor have personal experience in what you're dealing with? So in 2 Corinthians 1:4, it says, he comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. This is a principle that when we comfort other people, the most effective way to do this is to be able to share how God comforted us in that. In other words, there's a personal testimony. And I think that we have found that's the reason that we are most effective dealing with couples who have been through similar situations as us. If they come in with a big drug issue or something like that, that wasn't part of our story. And we'll frequently say, hey, maybe somebody else can help you a little more in that area, right?
That's right. I mean, and so I think knowing if the counselor has had this experience in his own life, and then him being able to share, this is how God got me through this.
Yeah.
Is huge.
It is.
You know, and even asking, how is your marriage?
I mean, that's a legitimate question,
right?
If you're going to marriage counseling, I think that's a real question. And having a counselor that can be forthcoming and share is important on that. And what's the next question we ask?
Does the counselor incorporate emotionally focused therapy?
Right.
And I think that is really important because I know God used that in our life.
Yeah.
I mean, for 6 months, man, we were in this emotionally focused therapy and we went hard at it because we were so inadequate in it. But God brought this to us and we go, yeah, this is the way.
Yeah. And to be clear, we were not doing counseling with anybody at that point, but this is something God led us through. We learned a lot of this from Whatever It Takes Ministries on how to walk through this stuff. And you might say, Phil, what the heck is emotionally focused therapy and why is that important? Well, if you look at statistics on how often is marriage counseling successful, in other words, the people get out of their pit and they get to a happy marriage, the statistics aren't so great in that. We've seen stats anywhere from 20% of the time to 50% of the time, something like that, right? However, it's interesting, on emotionally focused therapy, the statistics are about 75%, so significantly better that it can have a good impact. So we want to just unpack kind of four quick things to look for in this. And we ended up walking through all of these, really.
The first one would be we had to learn a new vocabulary because we were not communicating with one another in the way that we should have been.
Yeah, we didn't know how to use feeling words
We had no feeling words. Our words were so limited. And when we discovered this feeling wheel, we were like, wow, now this is descriptive.
Yeah, we even started doing some little exercises. I remember every morning we were doing this thing. We would pick a feeling, like, you know, let's say discouraged, right? And we would have two statements. We'd say, I feel discouraged when blank. And then we'd say, the first time I felt discouraged was, and then we go all the way back to when we were a kid or a young adult or whenever it was, and we try to describe what made us that first feeling, right? And so we would typically pick kind of two feeling words at a time, go back and forth. And we did that for a while. And we did it with our kids too.
That's right. And also when we would hit, I call them speed bumps, whatever you want to call it, that things are not going well, those words were very helpful in describing and letting you know how this was making me feel.
So as part of this emotionally focused therapy, a good counselor will help you learn how to communicate with more feeling. This was a key part, I think, of our recovery, Priscilla, as God, the Holy Spirit was leading us through this as we were studying His Word and using some of the things we learned at Whatever It Takes Ministries and stuff like that. But that was really key. The next thing is that you have to see yourself on the same team. You can't be enemies here. You got to see yourself as a battle partner.
Right. You know, this is about a relationship. It's not about two individual people. We're talking about coming together. We need help in this relationship that we think is really important.
Typically, spouses are coming in at odds with each other.
Yeah.
A good counselor will try to get you on the same team. And they'll point out you can't be enemies.
The third thing about emotionally focused therapy would be that you have to have empathy towards your spouse, their weaknesses that they are confronting, that they are the past trauma that they are sharing with you. is really showing empathy, which is really comes from our Lord, right? He was compassionate. He had empathy towards us.
We will see sometimes a couples at our table, and one of them, typically the wife, is just distraught, broken, crying, emoting a lot. But we'll look over at the husband.
And he will be like as cold stone, like, what's going on with you? Why? There's nothing. Like, he's just a rock, hard.
And we'll ask, hey, what's going on? So, you know, but there is no emotional connection, no nothing in this. And so, again, a good counselor will try to get you to connect through empathy to help feel this each other's emotions through this. And so that's another key part of it.
The fourth one that we have down here is taking 100% responsibility for what your share is in this problem. So that means to me, like in our relationship, you took 100% of it. You said, this is what I did. And it falls on me. You took responsibility. And at the same time, well, not exactly at the same time, a little bit afterwards, I saw that I had a share that I needed to take, mm-hmm. that I had responsibility for where our marriage wound up.
Yeah.
You know, I was not scot-free. And I know that I created some things in our marriage, and only because my heart was so hardened towards God.
Well, a good counselor will come in and have kind of a balanced approach on both people and help each person to see what is their share. One person's share might be 90 and the other one might be 10, but each person owns 100% of their piece on this.
Even if it's 2%, own the 100% of your 2%.
So those are the four things that we would say are some basic building blocks around emotionally focused therapy. And it's a key part of this. And again, the reason is statistically, it's been shown this type of therapy has a higher success rate in doing it. And for those of you who have read our book and you've been through our workbook and stuff, you will see components of all four of those in the stuff that we teach and we go through, because it was helpful for us. And it's been shown to have a higher impact than just other types of meetings and thoughts and processing. So anyway, that's the whole thing around emotionally focused therapy. The other question that we'd have you ask about a counselor is, do they occasionally make it uncomfortable for you? I mean, this isn't supposed to be a vacation when you're in their office, right? But are they pushing? Are they making it appropriately uncomfortable for you?
Are they pointing you to things in your life that no one else has? It's kind of like your blind spot.
Yeah.
You know, they see the blind spot. Now they're pointing it out. They make it uncomfortable, which is supposed to be, because you are working on a solution to the crisis in your marriage.
Another way to think about it is they are making your relationship the real client here. They don't have a preference for one of you.
They don't have a favorite.
There's no favorite here. They are saying your marriage, your relationship is the client. I'm all about that. And I'm going to push on each one of you, because we know this thing will not succeed without both of you having a big change in your marriage here. I mean, basically, Priscilla, I think people have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
That's right.
Don't you?
Yes, they do. I mean, it is a hard, awkward, painful journey. If you want to find a solution, that's what it's going to be.
We tell people they have to run toward the pain.
That's right.
And that is counterintuitive, you know. And then I think the last question we ask people is, do you both agree on the counselor?
Right. You both have to agree on the counselor. It can't be, no, this is the person I've always gone to. No, I don't want to go to him. It has to be, hey, we're going to find a counselor that works for both of us.
Yeah.
Because we are so committed to solving our issues that we want this to work, and we are both going to agree on the counselor. It's not one over the other.
I think this is one of the biggest things that we see people running through is somebody started a counseling relationship with a counselor, either the husband or wife, and they pull their other spouse into this relationship, and the second spouse to come into the relationship doesn't feel as connected. They sense a preferential treatment, and all of a sudden they say, I'm out. I don't like them. They're all against me, you know, on and on and on and on. Of course, we always caution the spouse. Usually it's the spouse that's created most of the problems in the relationship that's the second person in, right? So we have to say, hey, don't just rebel because you're the person with all the problems here. But there needs to be an agreement. This person can help our marriage.
So now we're going to turn the corner. And now these questions are questions for the couples.
Yes.
Who are going to counseling.
Right. Because the counselor is not a magic pill.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. They're, I mean, they are relying on the couple doing their work. So the first question we asked them is said, are you going to counseling together? Now that might seem like a crazy question. Well, Phil, this is marriage counseling. Of course they're going, but we know this is not always true, right?
No. And sometimes, you know, counselors do say, well, let me have one spouse and then next week I'll do another spouse and then maybe we'll get together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know. Shoot, you know what? You've been married all this time and now you're doing separate marriage counseling. You share everything you've shared for years and now, oh, all of a sudden we're doing the separated?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Well, the real risk here, and we experience this, is that we will meet with one person. Like I'll go and I'll have a breakfast with a guy and yes. I'll come home and I'll say, Priscilla, man, this guy is married to a crazy woman. Yeah. I don't know how in the world he's married to her.
And then I go and I meet with the lady.
Yep.
And I come back and I go, oh no, he is the problem.
And so we see situations where a husband or a wife, they're going to sometimes different counselors, right?
Right.
He has his, she has hers. They tell their side of the story and they're getting advice on their marriage. So the counselor has not even met the spouse yet. And I don't know, from our perspective, I don't know how in the world that works. Maybe they're counseling the person on an individual problem they have or an addiction or something like that, that is helping them get past that. Maybe that helps. But
when when your marriage is the center of this relationship with a counselor.
And that's what you're talking about.
That's what we're talking about. It should be together.
Yeah. Yeah. The counselor has got to be talking with both people together. You know, I will tell you just as a reflection, Priscilla, you remember I went to counseling for 5.5 years after 10 years in our marriage when you caught me looking at porn, right?
Right.
I didn't do a lot of these things, right?
No.
That we're talking about, right? And so, but one piece is we didn't go together.
No, we did not. It was all you and I was kind of out of the picture.
Well, you wanted to go to the counseling.
I did. I asked questions and I was shut down on it.
I think inside of me, I was afraid if you started going to counseling, it would just be one other finger that's getting pointed at me. And I thought, well, I really got the problem here. I was just the one that it was involved in the betrayal and the infidelity and stuff like that and porn and everything. And so I've got the problem that needs to be addressed here. And once I get me fixed, you'll be fine. But anybody that's followed our story knows that's not true, right? Because 18 years later, we were now really having to get to the bottom of this. So this point here on counseling together is an important one.
So another question we ask is, how long have you been going to counseling? Individual counseling, right?
Yeah.
And usually it's some people, you know, we've talked to, it's been a while. Others, it's like, well, just 6 months. But if you've been going a while or if you've been going 6 months, you would think you would see some change.
I mean, we've talked to people that have had relationships. I remember one person, 8 years, I think, going to the same counselor. And we say, so are you getting anything out of this? And they say, I just love to talk to him or her, right? They encourage me so much, right? And that's great. But, you know, at some point, it looks like just an expensive coffee break. And we have to really ask ourselves, is it really making a difference in our life after this? And people will ask, how long should this take? And I don't know that we can tell you a number on this because some people have big problems and some people have small problems. Some people learn fast and some people learn slow. Yeah.
But there has to be a degree of changing.
Yeah.
Like this counseling is helping me. Mm-hmm. I see a difference. I'm moving along. And I think when you don't see that, I think it's a big question mark. Should I continue with this?
Another question we ask people is, are you being 100% transparent with a counselor and with your spouse?
Well, see, the other thing about this is that if you're with your spouse in the room, there will be 100% transparency.
Yeah.
Because you're both there.
Well, at least on what I tell the counselor, but what if I'm not, don't tell them everything.
But your wife knows a lot. Your husband knows a lot.
Yeah.
And they know when you're lying, generally speaking. spouses know you're lying. There's more to this.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm going to say. You don't think that's true?
I don't know.
Oh, I think Phil, well, if I had been in that room with you while he was talking, I would have said, I don't think this is all that there is.
Yeah.
I think there's more to this. Yeah. Yes, sirree, Bob.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at you staring at me, and I think I'm believing it. Well, you know, I think it's a good point. And but if they're not being, if they're going singly.
Oh, yeah. Well, then you can tell the story you want to tell.
Yeah. Well, see, that's what was happening to me. When I was going to the counseling, I was not 100% transparent with the counselor.
No, you were not.
I was still trying to paint a little bit of an image. At one point, he called me out a little bit and said, you look like a guy that's got to kind of control everything going on around you, have a certain image and stuff like that. Of course, I probably took it as a compliment back then. And then the other thing is I was not sharing with you what was going on at the counseling office, right?
Right.
So I was developing
it was all secret.
It was all secret. And I was developing a more intimate relationship with the counselor than I was with you.
That's right.
On stuff like that. So that's a question we have to be really honest about.
And this next one, I believe, is really important because I've seen this in action. And that is sometimes we go to the counselor as a substitute for the Holy Spirit, that we want a quick answer. We want a quick fix. Can you just get me moving?
Yeah.
And it's really relying on man for his answer instead of taking a moment and saying, God, I don't know what to do right now. Help me.
Yeah.
Tell me what to do.
Yeah. Well, you know, Priscilla, I remember 60, 90 days into our recovery, and we tell this story in our book, right, about the what we call the backless woman.
Yeah.
And it was the short story is a woman that I caught a glimpse. She wasn't dressed very appropriately. I saw her. It kind of messed with my mind. I shared that with you, and you went into a tailspin on this. And we went from things going great to we're going to get a divorce off of this.
It was almost a split second.
It took. But at the moment, we both sat there, and I said, I need to pray about this, and let's pray. And we prayed. In just a moment, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Phil, I've gotten you through all this mess in your life, and this is really what's going to bring you down. I mean, what are you going to tell the judge that you've been rescued from adultery and pornography and massage parlors, but all of a sudden you caught a glimpse with a woman and that's what's bringing you down? And, you know, it was just really, really crazy, right? And so, but in that moment, we looked to the Holy Spirit and it changed everything.
It did. In a split second, everything changed.
And so that's really the bottom line on this is people have to be as fast to run to God, run to the Holy Spirit as they are to pull the trigger on a counselor or make a phone call to somebody else. And we're not saying don't reach out, right? But it's just an important part of this whole thing.
And wrapping up, I believe that, you know, if it's not working out with the counselor, then change.
Yeah, we spoke with a woman the other day. She said she was telling us her marriage story. And she went through six counselors, right?
Six counselors.
And she said the last one really helped her. But that means she went through five that didn't help so much, right? So again, it is hard to find somebody that's hitting all these buttons. And plus that you like, you respect, you can afford. I mean, all these types of things, right? To put that together in a package. But there's no harm in making a change if it's not working out. Counselor skills make all the difference here. You're not buying a degree. You're not buying accreditations. Okay. Any of that stuff,
right? The textbooks,
right?
You're not buying all that.
Yeah.
You're buying the skill of a counselor.
Yeah, their ability to hear from God and point you towards God.
But one main thing, too, about what happens with the counselor is the homework.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of us sometimes go to the counselor and it's great. And it's like, this is amazing. I think this is going to work. And then he gives us things to do. And then we go, oh, no, I didn't do it.
Yeah. Well, I think, Priscilla, in our story, as we went back and looked at this, what we found out is that all the counseling, all the stuff that people tell you and they share with you in their office or anywhere else, it's really just the start. But the real work is away from the office and starts at home. This is Phil and Priscilla Fretwell. Thanks for listening. Our book, Savage Marriage, Triumph Over Betrayal and Sexual Addiction, is now available on Amazon.
Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Savage Marriage Ministries. Also, join our Savage Marriage community at savagemarriageministries.com.
And remember, it's God who is at work in your savage adventure.